Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. It's Andy's Girls. It's episode, I don't know, 575, I don't know. And I just watched New Jersey a second time. While I am so pale, I'm essentially Casper-esque at this point. I've been stuck inside for the summer, so any hint of a pinkish tenor to my pale skin has not happened so far this season. But I turned cherry tomato red watching the episode of New Jersey. So I watched it. What day of the week is it now? It's Tuesday. I watched it on Monday, also known as yesterday, intending to recap it. And then I had some neuro stuff, so I couldn't. But then it occurred to me today, Sarah, today you must record, even though your tum and your spirit are a little disconnected from each other. And for some of that, I blame Franklin Lakes. Today, you simply must say something. Okay, just needed to take a 2-second break to answer a text from my mother thanking me for the second time in the past maybe 4 days for these really generous gifts she's received from me, neither of which were from me. So I just had to do the whole, that's so wonderful you received a personalized gift. I understand you thinking it was from me because I am your child, but alas, it was not in fact from me. So anyway, circling back to what I was saying, I turned bright cherry tomato red watching New Jersey, which I have now seen twice. I watched it originally yesterday on Monday and a second time today. And I thought to myself, I don't even know quite how to encapsulate it, which is so great for a stream of consciousness long form pod, except to say that there was something about a combination of like true embarrassment mixed with cringe for two big moments from this episode that really took me aback. Like, really, it was almost overwhelming. And they're both pretty different, although both involve Louis, so maybe not as different as one would expect. I mean, honestly, I would like to blame Louis for all of the cringe. And I don't think that's probably entirely out of pocket, but obviously the meeting with Jim Leonard was a lot, as well as Louis's like MTV Cribs / Behind the Music devotional session, which involved three generations of Ruelas gentlemen. Watched Louis record a love message for his wife that began with him saying, "Hey, it's Louis, your husband. I didn't think we could go back to that beach video, and yet here we are, this man doing it again, but maybe worse." It makes you kind of think about the connections between the two moments, Teresa's meeting with her lawyer, publicist, intern, and her friends, and the Louis meeting. And the bulk of Teresa's like shocking reveal is that Marge doesn't like her very much and was maybe potentially conspiring with an ex of Louis to, you know, release these incredibly embarrassing videos of Louis where he's on the beach begging for someone to love him, saying he finally understands what it means to be a man surrounded by other men, just like a pack of puppies at the end of the day, begging to be adopted. But you gotta love a dog, not this guy so much. And the irony does not escape me that Teresa's upset toward Marge involves, among other things, the fact that videos released of Louis looking like an idiot, or at least cringe, while during the same episode, this man is volunteering to do the same thing on camera, organized as an idea of his. And he's like shining bright. He's shining brighter than a diamond on a fake Cartier bracelet that he gives his stepkids for Christmas. Like, the man could not be happier to do this thing. So to see one of the big examples of Marge being a piece of shit in Teresa's eyes because she potentially helped with the release or distribution of that beach video, contrast that with this man making a remix with pleasure and delight. And I just have to say to myself, what is happening here? Where am I? And listen, I don't know. People have really strong feelings about Teresa. I give her the benefit of the credit at points. At other points, I'm like, what the fuck? But I do have to say, when she was doing a lot of press in advance of the season and as the season started, saying there's going to be a big reveal and it backs up everything we've ever been saying about Marge, and she is completely vilified, we're exonerated, just you wait. I understand the like world of bullshit in marketing and promoting. I also understand doing too much to try to counter whatever critique might be coming your way, that maybe if you're successful enough, people might give side eye to someone, whether or not they deserve it, so that you can potentially get some more people on your side, you know, before this big reveal is had. That's not unique to Teresa. That's something that a lot of people do, understandably so. But I have to wonder, in watching that scene, in watching the reactions of her friends, obviously they're very shady confessionals after the fact, I think that Teresa really thought she did something here. And that, to me, I have such severe secondhand embarrassment. It's like a third degree burn. There isn't enough spiritual Neosporin in the goddamn universe. I mean, we're talking about Benadryl, which hopefully we'll get to, because what the fuck? But there isn't enough Neosporin in the world for the burn that it felt like Teresa was giving to herself in this episode. It was so difficult to watch. It really genuinely was. I don't know what else there is to say here, except, I mean, I guess there's like, again, hosting a podcast, there are a couple things to say, but it was really and truly a deeply unsuccessful delivery of big news. It makes me think that Louis had a conversation with his wife where he was like, this is going to change the game. And she believed him. I don't know how much of this began with Teresa, but I think she is so in love with this man and is trying her hardest to convince all of us, her kids, maybe herself, that everything that has ever happened to him is a mistake. And I just don't really get that energy from Louis personally. I don't think that this man is a victim of bad luck and a victim of a lot of people who've done business with him and been in relations with him and communicated with him and whatever else, just being out to destroy him and his wonderful reputation. And he's just fallen on hard times over and over again repeatedly in his life. I just don't have that vibe from him, that he's completely exempt from responsibility and everybody else has this nefarious ill intent. That's just not the energy I'm getting. But if you want to live in what I consider the land of make-believe, this is probably the perfect guy for you because he's always going to have a reason, an excuse, and he's always going to have a great idea. And if that great idea doesn't work out, it is the fault of everyone else around him, or we're too dumb to get it. That's kind of the impression that I have from what we watched this episode, because his hands are all over everything. And I'm just so nervous for Teresa. Like, why should I care that she doesn't get it? I don't know why I do. I don't want to see this woman potentially be taken advantage of. I really genuinely don't. I am so concerned for her financial future and the future of her kids. I just cannot tell you how overwhelmingly cringe I feel every time I see this man on camera. He is up to no good. And it's really tough to see her fight so hard for him because it's like you're fighting against reality here. I don't know that you're going to win, especially when you're trying to do it on reality TV. And she just genuinely flopped. It was so tough because there was a moment where she's delivering this line and she's like, do you see what all of this means? It means that Marge had spoken to someone who really hates Louis. And because, you know, Marge really dislikes Louis, she had a plan and said to this person, I'm going to get Louis. And then it's like, oh my, I think she genuinely thought everyone was going to be like, oh my God, Marge hates Louis. Big news, number two. And number two, she's saying she's going to get him. Now, I don't know what the actual get was. Like, what's the accusation here? Is the accusation that Marge hates Louis? Like, news at 11. I had no idea. I thought that they were best friends. So we have the accusation that Marge hates Louis. Copy that. The accusation that Marge was talking to Louis's ex, which we actually still don't have an answer on. Were they ever in communication? There's that. And then the third part to me is, what happened? What is the thing that she did? You're telling us that she had a plan to do something. What did she actually do? What did Marge do to ruin Louis's character that's worse than what Louis did? That's the thing that I'm trying to understand, that Marge is to blame for everything that Louis's been through, this whole legal situation between Teresa, between Louis and his ex was ongoing before Teresa and Louis got married. But Marge is somehow to blame here. Like, how does that make sense? There, Jim Leonard, sweet Jim Leonard. Should I call him James? Jim James Leonard is trying to build, if this is how he does law, I'm not quite sure what there is to say here about this man delivering an opening or closing argument. I hope for him, if someone can get on Apple and get him a subscription so he can watch Presumed Innocent, I just want him to see what legal monologuing can look like when it's done well on a scripted drama, because I just don't have the sense here, aside from him saying how much he cares for Teresa, which I do believe, Jim Leonard is in hot water in real time because of all these screenshots of shit that he's been, of things that he's been saying and conspiring to do harm to Teresa's cast members. So when Jim says, I care for her a lot, I'm like, and? At what point do the ends justify the means? Like, I don't know that that's really a conversation that Teresa has had with herself, let alone people on Team Tree. Because in real time, according to screenshots and whatever other pieces of evidence and word on the street and a very, you know, long-term ongoing conversations about Teresa's behavior, which has been like at the core of full seasons of Housewives before. This isn't exactly news. What's news now is how poorly she's doing it. It has not been so easily proven until the last several months that like this is not good. It's not good. And the defense that she and Jen have had is like everyone does it. Well, not if you watch the newest episode, because what she is saying is Marge has done something so wild that no one else would ever consider doing. And we have examples of stuff of Teresa and Jen acting out that's so much worse. But also, what's the bad thing that Marge did? She hates Louis. Copy that. They hate each other. This isn't like this man who is just looking at her with love and like, why doesn't she love me? He called her in a moment that I don't think was in the finished episode, a skank in front of his father. He's referencing a co-star as a skank. It's just, give him points off for like expiration dates on phrases alone. When's the last time you heard someone called a skank? It gives me, I don't know, mid-90s, early aughts energy, a decade before I was born, but historians have told me about that word. It's just so confusing to me to hear Teresa's gotcha moment and wonder what is it that she was genuinely trying to prove. And I actually would not be surprised if at some moment in time, Marge was talking to the ex. I'm not going to say that's never happened because we don't know that. It is entirely possible that she did, but also look at everything. The deck is stacked so strongly against Teresa, Jen, Aiden, and Louis in this that it's really tough. It's stacked so strongly that even during the scene, when Teresa's saying, this is so terrible that Marge either reached out to or was reached out to from someone in Louis's past who hates him and wanted to reveal information, and she either sought that information or received it. Isn't that terrible? And within moments, Jen Aiden, as a means to call Marge as a hypocrite, is actually sort of confirming the hypocrisy of all of this by saying, yeah, like when you and I were in talks with Laura, Marge's best friend, who only wanted to ruin her reputation, bring harm. And so we had a conversation with her to see what kind of information she would provide us. What a hypocrite she is for saying that we're bad people for doing that, which we definitely did, when she's doing this other thing. And I'm just thinking to myself, okay, let's go with that argument. You're all canceling each other out, except who allegedly hired a private investigator? Who allegedly called a co-star who you're fighting with's adult child off camera to intimidate them and potentially threaten them? We can't even get to the point of canceling each other out because Teresa doesn't understand that it's this, that aspects of this are the same. Like Laura, someone from Marge's life, not a former partner, but a former bestie, wanted to infiltrate the show or at least influence, arm, you know, Marge's nemesis with information that could be used to humiliate her. There is no difference here to me from a best friend trying to give information versus a partner trying to give information about an ex. I don't see any difference. And then the part B, or like T or E of all this, whatever part we're on at this point, is Teresa being like, can you even believe that the partner can't directly say things because of the gag order? So she's using Marge. Teresa is saying this out loud. Teresa, the spouse of someone who is under a gag order, so he's not present for this scene, but has obviously tried to arm it as best he can by having his wife say things about Marge, about the ex, because he cannot in this moment. I don't understand how Teresa doesn't get it. It's like such a defensiveness, such a state of denial, such a state of active obliviousness. It's stunning to me. It's genuinely embarrassing to watch because I want for her to do better. I selfishly just want it for me. I want you to have a big shocking reveal so I can feel like Jersey isn't going out a total flop, that it's not a whimper. There's some sort of bark or roar that's happening. So you're telling me that I'm hearing a roar, but it's like a dog whistle where we can't hear it, but all of a sudden Labradors around us start yelling. Like it's, I am to be expected that this thing is happening and it's wild because you're saying it's wild, but you're being extremely unsuccessful at saying it. And also you're in an environment where your allies are directly opposing this big reveal by bringing up their own shit of like saying the things that you have done with your closest ally on the show that to me is identical. It's identical. I'm trying to understand it. I have a friend who's a tree hugger. I'm really curious. I'm going to a Bravo event tomorrow. I'm dying to ask my tree hugger pals about this, but I honestly don't want to do it until we're mic'd because I would like to try to process it during the actual recording of an ep. But I cannot imagine a universe in which a lot of people believe that what we just saw here was a wild turn of events, except I know they exist. I got a DM from someone who said, in response to me posting a photo of the flowers, the arrangement that Teresa received, which was such a smooth shot. It was such a smooth shot. The flowers that Marge sent to Teresa and Jim James. And I got a message from someone who said, how can you say this moment is funny when Marge is doing exactly what Louie is doing? Why do you think that the flowers from Marge are any different from Louie's behavior? Because it's the same. And I'm thinking to myself, I want to understand that. Like, explain to me that math. And I said back, please explain to me that math of Marge doing a housewives style drag. This is the thing that housewives are known for, like some sort of passive aggressive or aggressive flower delivery, LOL. Like this is peak Atlanta housewives. This is like some moments from Beverly Hills. It's happened on any franchise. These are the things that we look for instead of potential like physical attack. We want someone to send flowers that say, go fuck yourself, but in a smart way. And I'm getting messages back from a tree hugger being like, this is the same thing as Louis. I don't understand the math. I just don't get it. I get stanning a housewife. I understand. I get maybe liking Louis if you want to. Choose your own adventure. He's certainly one that you can take. But the false equivocation here of all of this stuff making sense is the thing that's like making me confused. I feel dumb trying to talk it through because to me it's completely nonsensical. Like, what Teresa tried to do does not make any sense. I would love to hear an explanation of it. If you have a satchel of gold to send me, satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone, who probably does understand the math. It's probably Teresa and Kelly and maybe nobody else. Please slide into my DMs on Instagram. Send me an essay. I would love to unpack it. But also, this was not a thing that happened that we watched. Like, do I identify as a Gorgita crunch? Sure. But I'm also a viewer who wants to watch good TV. I would love for Teresa to have an episode where she's like, there's this big thing that happens and we all gasp and we get to talk about it. But that's not what happened here. But she thinks that it was. And she also looks exhausted. She does not look well. I am concerned for her. At one point, Jim Leonard says, I walked her to the plank. I walked her into federal prison, and she was less upset then than she is now. She was less stressed walking into federal prison than she has been the last several months. I have to ask why. I don't disbelieve him. She does not look well, but I have to wonder what is happening here in her relationship with this man, where this case is worse for her mentally than being in federal prison, separated from her children, unsure if her husband is going to be deported from the country and gone for her family from a calendar year, during which she misses time with her parents that she'll never get back, and die within years of her returning from camp. And you are telling me that she was less stressed with the world on her shoulders and much more press and media attention than she's getting with all this Louis shit. She is more stressed now than she was then. I have to ask you about what the fuck kind of pressure and energy is going on in her marriage, where she is spiraling to this extent because she feels the pressure or whatever of defending a complicated guy. There is a micro example of this happening on Orange County right now with Alexis and John. And you know what the TLDR is over there? He's a piece of shit. So the responsibility that she feels, does Alexis need to take responsibility for like flopping so far? And listen, we're days into the season, so she could have a fascinating season. I'm not going to take that away from her. It could happen. But as of right now, she's flopping a little bit. And it's because she's investing so much of her energy and her time on this man that she's been stooping for about an hour and a half. Then we get over to Teresa land, and she's married to Louis. They've been married for, you know, a relatively short period of time. They dated for, you know, a significant amount of time, got engaged, got married. And she is experiencing a lawsuit that's been going on since before she married him, in a way that is much more troubling to her internally and externally than going to federal prison after pleading guilty to a crime. Like, what's happening? That to me is not a good indicator of the health of her dynamic with her man. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off today. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/andysgirls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/andysgirls. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, it's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. When someone is screaming at you that they're happy, she's not saying this right now. Obviously, she's under stress and duress. But like, if you are being screamed, if someone is screaming at you that their man is a gift from God and has done no wrong, I have to wonder why you're yelling your happiness so loud. That is what I have seen of Teresa and Louis. That when he's been, to me, like, credibly accused of being, like, not great, I can understand, you know, really actively, energetically wanting to prove people wrong. But there is almost a spinning out at this point that I feel like we're watching happen, which I would understand maybe a little bit more if he wasn't trying so hard to push this marketing of him being relaxed and all about peace and love. How is it that in the course of the same episode, this guy wants to like fucking do audio video love Valentine monologues to his wife who's going on a trip for 16 hours, except she's not because the garage burned down, that he seems very calm and very chill and she's spinning out? That to me is not something where I'm like, ooh, Teresa's responding to stuff in a way that's out of sorts. Sorry, as a woman, I don't buy that. What I think is, and I believe that she's upset. I believe every indication that we are getting that she is not well. I 100% believe it. But the responsibility here of Louis trying to tell us that he's peace and chill and love, and his wife is losing her shit over his legal battles, it's telling me things are not great with him when the cameras go down. P.S. We still haven't seen that moment that was teased out in the fucking trailer for the season of the camera person saying, you know, this isn't going to go well, of Teresa in like their garden area talking about something not going great and him seeming in like disbelief that this is going to end well. Did we ever see that in an actual episode? Because we haven't seen it yet. The finale is next week, thank fucking God. But we haven't seen that moment yet. So unless we did on an episode and I was half asleep, which is genuinely entirely possible, the sleepwalking here of that huge moment, which was hyped in the season trailer, I don't remember seeing that in an actual episode. Could it happen in a finale? Yes, absolutely. It very well might. But as of right now, shit, man, it's giving me like a little bit of heebie-jeebies here of whatever the dynamic is. Like, wasn't it Dolo who said recently that the interactions that Louis is like driving Teresa a little bit nuts, that his like behavior yelling or whatever is going on because he's losing his shit and he's trying to present to us a different kind of front, which sure, you could argue is a human instinct, but he doesn't seem as worried about his wife being the one to appear frazzled. He's not really trying to like, quote unquote, calm her down. I don't get an energy or image here of Teresa just becoming undone behind the scenes in their real life and Louis being the guy being like, peace and love, TLC. Did you see the Buddha in our garden? Go like hang out with that in a little while, do some yoga and chill. He doesn't give me that kind of energy. He gives me the energy of a guy who's trying to prove to us that's who he is. But I feel like we're getting several examples that he's actually not. I just struggle with a narrative around this man not being able to make any active choices that are in any way potentially toxic, but everything toxic just seems to happen to him. And none of it really makes sense. And it's tough watching Teresa because obviously, she thought she like hit it out of the park. Then she's doing press where she's saying something was hit out of the park. There was a home run. Just you wait and see. We waited. We saw. We went, what happened? And then now I just kind of feel like she's in a dynamic that's probably really, really not great. And if this is the last time that we maybe see her and Louis on camera, because we don't really know what's going to happen during New Jersey's pause, no matter what some content creators and viewers might be posting when they're, I don't think intentionally, but deeply misquoting something that Andy said on Radio Andy this week. It just makes me kind of sad for her because I feel like we're seeing examples, a little bit of a whisper campaign on camera through her behavior and how she appears, that she's really not handling things great or well. And I don't know how much of the pressure of that is like the pressure of cameras and audience attention, but she's been through that many times with things that happened with her previous marriage, with things that happened with her legally going through Juicy Joe's deportation. She's gone through an awful lot. And my concern for her is that if we are seeing her in a place where she does not seem to be doing well, while trying to convince us that she's fine, but also really, really not fine, what happens when the cameras are no longer there, when there's no longer an attempt to disguise what the reality is in their relationship? You know, the restraining order was not approved. So you would think that a lot of the pressure in the balloon here is gone. If Teresa and Marge aren't going to film again, which seems very likely, I don't know if neither of them are going to be on the show. I don't know if one of them will be on the show, but that's a lot of stress that you can potentially remove from your life. If you're saying that Marge is the reason for all of this stress, even though the legal situation happened prior to things blowing up with Marge, prior to you even marrying this man. But if we're saying that Marge is the reason that you're under duress, that Marge is the reason all this is happening, what happens when Marge is removed from the equation? Either because she's no longer in the show or you're no longer in the show, you're both no longer on the show. Who is now to blame? There's always going to be someone else to blame. Teresa has participated in that kind of like triangulation. Obviously, we have seen examples of that prior to Louis being but an idea, but a dream, and entering the picture with, you know, why with Melissa, for example, being entirely responsible and the only reason that she and Joe are no longer close, with prior friendships falling out, with Caroline Manzo being the cause, with Jacqueline Lurita being the cause, with at one point Danielle Staub being the cause, and then no longer the cause, and then also the cause. Either Kim at some point were entirely the cause of things going poorly in Teresa's life. Because Marge has been identified as the biggest and possibly sole reason that things aren't going great, at least until we get to the Last Supper next week, in which case Melissa pops her head in a little bit more IRL or in Teresa's mind, whatever else. So much of this is built around Marge that I just wonder for her in her personal life, what happens when Marge is removed? Like, what happens when Marge is no longer there? Who's going to be to blame now? Because I think that some of Teresa's worst instincts are the perfect match with how Louis can manipulate her and maybe previous partners best. There is something to be said for like the victim complex, where Teresa's always the victim and now her husband is as well. I just get concerned for her because my worst case scenario here in the dynamic is that Louis's focus on who to blame is going to shift from someone outside of their relationship to someone inside of it. And I just don't want to see that happen, because I am all for criticizing Teresa, as I am for essentially any housewife. And I think Teresa deserves a lot of criticism, but I don't want to see her in a toxic relationship. I really don't. I want her to be with someone who I think is deserving of her trust and her love. And her loyalty, obviously, because that's at the core here. But I just am very nervous for her with this guy. And there's just something about his positive energy that feels like it comes at such a high cost. And I don't know. I think there's an expiration point here on blaming Marge. Although actually, frankly, regardless of no longer being on the show potentially for Marge or Teresa or both or whatever, you could certainly still blame her for the rest of your life if you would like to. But I think it's just going to become a weaker argument as time goes on, because how much of your future and present can you blame on your past? Maybe that's the ultimate irony here with like long form family or friend disputes on Franklin Lakes, is that we're constantly changing the history to catch up for present time. And oftentimes that's incredibly unsustainable or unsuccessful as a strategy. It just makes me feel super fucking nervous. And then, and this is such a just kind of like nothing burger, but I started to think about Jim Leonard, because I was like, who the fuck is this guy? It's to me so strange to see a man who is a lawyer, litigator, whatever, in his free time trying to figure out which Chastain is which. Like, that to me is just a very strange. And also, does he have some sort of like non-legal hourly, or is he just doing that from the bottom of his heart because he cares so much about Teresa and this family that he's doing this stuff? I just have to think, like, shouldn't you have less time available in which to do this? Or is defending her trying to come up with shady things to do on camera and off so that maybe you can win in this at this point, almost imaginary battle some of you guys have. Shouldn't you be doing other things? So I did Google James Leonard, which is something I probably am going to regret for the rest of my life. And I went to the website for his firm, Leonard Warren Leonard. So I guess there are two Leonards there, which is wonderful. And I just, listen, he could be under construction. You know, Marge said that his office is near a meth clinic. So I don't want to say that there's some like sense memory here that's trickling into whomever built his law firm website. But I would think that there's some professions. I would think that for anyone in, you know, law, medicine, engineering, potentially. It's the Brown M&M theory of, which band was it? Where there was this whole thing where there's, you know, conversations about riders and people are doing too much. And like your rider, if you're a super successful rock and roll band and you're asking for crazy things. And sometimes it's used as a diva, as a way for people to say that like you're a diva, you're asking for too much. You've like lost it in the world of celebrity. But for some bands, you make really, really specific riders because let's say you're using Fire or something on your set and you're asking for brown M&Ms in your rider. Maybe it's not just because you like brown instead of green. Maybe it's because you want to make sure that these little things are taken care of because there are much larger pieces of your show that bear really, really, really meticulous preparation. So you might be asking for really specific dumb things, and maybe it's because you're specific and dumb and you have every right to be, but also there might be other reasons here why you're asking for specific stuff because you want to make sure and have an understanding that people are really being meticulous, especially if there's a question about safety. I would think of that with like preparation for surgery or something else, or, you know, the way that you're maybe meeting with a doctor and wanting to feel comfortable and safe with whatever procedure that you're getting, or someone, you know, potentially looking into a diagnosis. The same with a lawyer. I would want to make sure that they feel like they are professional and at the top of their game. And there are basic things here where I, as a potential client, I mean, fashion police, hello. God forbid I'm going to be under arrest for some of these dresses. But there are ways that I would maybe look at before hiring someone to do professional specialized work. I would want to make sure that they are aware and conscious of how they're being represented. And maybe I'm pulling too much out of here. Suffice it to say, I went on his website and I don't know if Jim himself is still under construction or it's just the page, but it looks like a law firm website that he has never himself looked at or maybe doesn't understand is still, I would say, 60%, you know, Squarespace format that hasn't been filled in. You look at his like index of About Us, Home, and there are different versions, version one of About Us, version two. Clicking on version one, for example, while I'm hot on the mic recording this episode, and it is in fact in Latin. Now, I'm not going to say that Jim Leonard doesn't speak a quote unquote dead language. You know, Latin, you could take Latin if you didn't want to take French or Spanish, and God bless you if you did. But the website has like the title of highly respected criminal defense attorneys. And then I'm not really seeing any of that high respect or defense below it because it's in a different language because that information hasn't been filled in about the reasons why they're highly respected defense attorneys focused on criminal behavior. When you know, you're seeing a lot of Latin here. And then the last paragraph says, on the other hand, we denounce with righteous indignation and dislike men who are so beguiled and demoralized by the charms of pleasure of the moment. That's actually really interesting. One could argue potentially fluid writing, which I would love to see. Maybe whoever wrote that also wrote Teresa's journal entry from her live podcast recording last week. But I'm not really getting a sense here that he's really focused on a lot of specifics. And that might just sound like me being a dick and welcome to AG number one, but also wouldn't you want someone who's defending you on
camera and off to really care more about how he's trying to present as an attorney, especially if on camera he's acting as Teresa's character witness. Like, doesn't some of this matter? You look at his address and it has a Chicago address. Oh, sorry, it says Chicago office, Salt Lake City, Utah, because it hasn't been filled in yet. If you try to email him, it's like a contact hello email, but not for his firm. It's just something that someone was supposed to fix. His office email is contact@example.com. I actually initially thought, oh, how interesting that he bought example.com. It didn't occur to me that really lawyers here could go about trying to seek clients and not have accurate state contact information or emails or phone numbers. This is a real left turn. Apologies for spending so much time on this, but like, then I look at the bios because I was curious where James Leonard went to school. His email again on here is Karen@example.com. So maybe his nickname is Karen. Who's to say? What a name of anyone to say, you know, Karen's. I mean, shout out to all the Karens, number one. You guys have really been through it for a couple years, but it just is a. It's unfortunate to me that I don't think he actually bought the URL example.com, but that is honestly one of those URLs like human.com or like office supplies.com that probably would be worth quite a bit. So if he did in fact buy example.com and his office assistant's name is Karen, I mean, God bless him, because I think that's actually a strong financial decision. His law school, according to this, is William Mitchell School of Law, status excellent, top five of school, and then University of Wisconsin Platteville, status excellent. It also gets into his certificates in environmental and natural resources law. Again, another excellent status certificate in business and commercial law. So I actually don't know where James Leonard comes from. I mean, maybe he did spend some time in Wisconsin, which is entirely possible, except when you look at the two other lawyers, the second Leonard, Rebecca, and a gentleman, Ken Warren, and they have the same bios and school information and the same certificate levels. And again, this just kind of connects with, first off, who's going to Google Jim Leonard? What is wrong with me that I'm like, let me just take a little prance down the street. Let me just take a little side stroll and see what Jimmy Leonard is up to. But I was genuinely, genuinely curious. Then I did go to client reviews on his website. This is so niche, I can't even tell you. And I thought, oh my God, thank God there are examples written in English, not Latin. And I actually don't even know that those are Latin, where it just was intended to look Latin. So I don't know if it's spiritual Latin or literal Latin, probably more spiritual, the former than the latter. But you get into client reviews, and yeah, there are some people here who say that they are clients and their explanations are in English. And that was honestly somewhat of a relief. In the testimonials, we hear from Angelique and Anna Marie, and that's all fine and good, except that later on in one of these other sections, when it gets into more of the about us, are embedded videos, one of Amal Clooney on the Today Show. And I actually genuinely, again, not understanding that this is just incredibly sloppy stuff. Also, there are other headshots here of just random people, I guess, pulled from Google, but there are what I thought were testimonial videos or videos of Jim doing press, and it's just Amal on the Today Show, and then another video for attorneys with information about how to give an interview that's saved on this man's law website. So my guess is that maybe he was just like, you know, keeping up with Amal, seeing what she's up to. She's, you know, phenomenal. She's a world-renowned attorney barrister, you know, voice to the globe. So I guess he was just kind of catching up on Today or GMA, and then maybe was also researching how to give an interview if you're a lawyer but accidentally put it on the website. There are two of those. And at this point, I thought, Sarah, what's going on with your day that you're spending a lot of time thinking about Jim Leonard and just really what the dot, dot, dot here would be what. But I have to kind of wonder if this is the example of Teresa's character witness, and this is the man who's also at the forefront of a lot of rumors and nastiness around things that Teresa and Jen Aiden seem to be doing in their off season to bring onto the field when they're ready to start a play. It just makes a gal feel cringe. You know what I'm saying? I just feel so deeply embarrassed for all of them. And listen, we think about housewives and we think about housewives as escapism. And sometimes that escapism is like, ooh, look at all that person's money, or ooh, look at all that person's debt, or look at that marriage that seems great and then it falls apart. Or maybe for three people, look at those marriages and they're still great and they still love each other. And isn't that wonderful? Like the escapism could be looking at a world that we maybe entirely don't have access to, or maybe don't understand, but it kind of takes us out of our universe. I don't want to feel bad necessarily or embarrassed or cringe because of people not being able to level up when you've been on Housewives and are an OG, you've been on this show for over a decade. I don't want to feel like I need to give you a little bit of a stepladder here so we can get to a place where your big reveal after being on this show for 14 seasons doesn't entirely flop. I want to think that you're better at doing this than maybe you are. And Teresa should always be, to me, be on the Mount Rushmore of Housewives. She is one of the, when you think of someone coming onto the show and helping create the universe of Housewives, I don't think that should ever be taken away from Teresa. You could also argue this was just a bad episode. It was a bad act. It's just so frustrating to me because it might be one of her last. And I want her to go out in a way that feels less embarrassing to like the legacy of Giudice, Giudice. I want to see her do better than this. I want to see the Housewives universe. Listen, who doesn't love a little bit of cringe, a little bit of embarrassment? I'm not going to say that that shouldn't exist, but I am going to say that when it flops this hard on a season that's already not great, and there's a question here of who is going to have their job back after this, I want to feel like Teresa has more of a fighting chance. And at the end of the day, who's doing worse for Teresa? Is it Marge or Teresa herself? Like, who's really to blame here for this? Obviously, I have issues with Louis, but also at the end of the day, that shouldn't remove responsibility from Teresa herself. It's really tough. Also, not to add on here, I really thought this was going to be a 10-minute ep. You guys know how I am. Why was Gia there? Gia's an adult. She's 22. I give her a lot of grace because we've seen her grow up. I think she's been in positions where she's been responsible for way too much than she should be. We think about Gia and people often say she seems really mature. She seems really independent. She's responsible. She's smart. All of that being said, which are compliments that I really genuinely think she deserves. There's a flip side here of like, what's the cost of that independence? What's the cost of the fact that she had to step up because both of her parents were pleading guilty to federal crimes and then were shipped off to prison? Like the fact that she had to pick up a lot of slack and like parent her sisters, to me is not there's a cost to the compliment. And so I feel sad for what these kids have had to go through. And also shout out to their mom, who has, to me, done a fantastic job parenting them, because for all that we have seen, they seem to have grown up to be responsible, caring, considerate, smart, successful young women. I would never want to take that away from Teresa. And Teresa's had to do the lion's share of the work from before they pled guilty and shipped off to camp, like before Joe, before he had to skadoodle from the States. There was a lot that Teresa was already responsible for. So I don't want to take that away from her. I also think a person could make the argument that her mom, Teresa, has a lot of good friends. I wish that there were situations where she was talking to her adult friends about her relationship, her cast members, and not her kid. I'm not taking away from the fact that they're very close. I think that's great. But I also think some of this stuff shouldn't involve a group of adults who also work at this job and a 22-year-old. I don't think the 22-year-old, I don't know what she has seen in her life. She was obviously really emotional talking about this. Another example of how Teresa is stressed the fuck out. And I, again, don't blame Gia for any of this. This is not an analogy. I'm just saying, I feel like Gia has access to a lot of information here that, yeah, she might have anyway because her family is on a reality TV show. But I think it would make me selfishly feel a little better if she was being treated a little bit more like a kid. And even if she was 25, even if she was 30, there's a vibe here that she's being treated as almost not like a colleague, but an equal here that makes me uncomfortable. I know that Teresa has a small family. Obviously, she's estranged from her brother and sister-in-law, but like have someone else there that is not the 22-year-old child who should have other stuff to focus on. And I might be arguing against myself, welcome, because that would be the first time, because maybe for all we know, Gia demanded to be there. Maybe she was like, I want to support my mom. And I get that. And I completely understand and respect it. I just don't think that she should have to. I just think, are there not other adults in the room that can have these conversations? Why does it have to be a daughter? It makes me feel slightly uncomfortable because then at a certain extent, I just think like Teresa's really happy now, right? Like they're doing so great. Why can't we let Gia focus on stuff outside of this? If we're going to have her on the show, and she has every right to be on the show, and I don't even know, she might be drawing in income on the show, or it might just be she's supporting her mom who's drawing in income. It's like, I get it. There ends up being family responsibilities of when we come to filming this show, people are going to participate in some levels. And also Louis is not able to join this conversation. So I guess Gia is acting as a little bit of a surrogate, but it just makes me a little uncomfortable that she's the choice being made, because I just don't think she should have to deal with this. I just think she's 22. She's gone through enough. I get her wanting to defend her mom, but that doesn't mean we should agree to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like she has gone through so much, and to continue to be in these kind of intimate conversations, one could argue, and that's the title of the app, one could argue that, you know, why now would be the perfect time versus before, because now she is a young adult. But I just also think, I just wish when it comes to being a surrogate, there was someone who was an adult who could step up, that it should not be Gia in that position. Even if she does want to support her mom, especially if she wants to support her mom, I just think, why are we putting her through more? I don't love that. I'm not saying that as a criticism of Teresa as a parent. I think she's been an exceptional parent, genuinely, especially given the circumstances. But I just also think, like, I don't know, at the end of the day, let's give this kid a little bit of space between some of this, because it just gets so dirty. And I want to keep the kids away from this as much as we can. And everybody else, for some reasons, owing to the fact that their children aren't on TV, that they choose not to be or whatever, it makes me feel like their world is getting smaller and smaller. And I just want to feel like these kids, that there's a little bit of separation and distance from what is actually taking place. I really genuinely do. I don't know what else there is to say about the reveal itself. I'm still confused as to what they're saying about Marge either feeding info to the ex or vice versa. I assume it was the vice versa, but I don't understand exactly at the end of the day what Marge is being accused of doing. Jim saying that Teresa is less stressed walking into prison. Again, I'm not quite sure what you're saying here that isn't counterintuitive from when we get the reveal, if you're saying that she's so stressed, more stressed out now, and you're trying to blame Marge for that, I need to get more specifics of what exactly Marge has done. But then when that's being canceled out because of Teresa's own behavior and stuff that's like worse than what you're accusing Marge of, because what you're saying is that like Marge is bringing stuff up on camera, but the argument against Teresa, Jim, and Jen from all these reveals is making stuff up with content creators and other people so that it can exist on social so that you can then manipulate that for plot. That's like an extra step. I mean, A for effort, I would say on that. But I don't know how that effort is really paying off if this is now a morality game. Like that doesn't really make a ton of sense. And ultimately, what is Marge doing to expose Teresa and Louis that's worse than what Louis himself has done and what Teresa has done as a defense of him? I'm not quite sure if like the energy that we're trying to cast shock about is someone being vengeful. That is, you have to give me examples of the vengeance. But even if you do, there are so many other examples from your universe of being vengeful and reactive that I don't know. I don't know what's worse. And it's the chicken and the egg of like, what happened first? Does Marge approaching or being approached by Louis's ex, where does that land in the timeline of all of this with Louis and Bo Dietl? Like, I haven't even gotten into that aspect of it, of the private investigator, of the clips to the reunion from last year of Frank saying there was a conspiracy or a plan, honestly, not even a conspiracy, but a plan to go after Frank and Joe Gorga and Marge with hiring someone or working with a dear friend who's a private investigator. Like, what's the timing of Marge potentially reacting to that? Are you saying that your behavior happened as a reaction to Marge's behavior? Are we not seeing taking like a stick to a gun battle? Like, are we not really getting the difference regardless of what happened first? But I do also think that's a big regardless, because we should probably know what happened first. How much of this argument and position is as a response to allegations about stuff before what we're talking about off camera with all the social stuff? Like, with the Bo Dietl of it all, are you now saying that that happened because Marge was talking to Louis's ex? Do we not understand how overblown that would have been as a response? But also, it was overblown regardless. It doesn't feel even. So I don't know. It's tough. I don't know what's worse, to be a private investigator or a gossip girl. I mean, I do know what's worse, to hire a private investigator. But you're telling us being a gossip girl is worse. Well, then we really need to hear more about that gossip. All we're focusing on right now is the girl. And what's this about spending, I don't even want to say this out loud, but spending $400,000 on an attorney? What did Louis maybe say to Teresa about why $400,000 is missing? Because he spent it on this, you know, legal case with his ex. I really hope that she added on a zero. I really hope that Teresa was speaking out of pocket, maybe defensively. I could honestly understand it, to try to show what the loss that has happened because of this legal battle between Louis and his ex. Because if Louis is spending money in that way, that's to me just so deeply irresponsible. But also, do we really think he spent $400,000 on this? And can we just shift back to the devotionals for a second? That was real tough to watch, but I did laugh during the scene. And there were genuinely a couple moments from this episode that I thought were really funny. One was Joe Gorga trying to ask Frank why he would hang out with a scumbag, and Frank immediately pivoting to you know, saying like, who did this stuff? Like talking about the interior decor. I laughed twice, both times when I watched the episode. And also Dolores in real time, watching Dolores's brain reacting to Polly telling her about the devotional, where her eyes, I think, are telling us she wants to talk shit. And there being a genuine 8-second like technical delay before she says, oh, that's so nice, because we know, Polly knows that she does not mean that, but she does not want to fuck with Louie, which is understandable, frankly. And of course, Marge's funeral arrangement, which was such a smooth shot of spending $200, I would assume, right? Like, that's a couple $100s to send that flower arrangement. That's like not $0. That's like a little bit, you know, sending a fuck you takes an Amex. And to put on the note, dear Teresa and James, sorry for the loss of your dignity. Love, 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 Marge. I'm sorry. That was really funny. That is basic housewives. That's basic housewifery. But circling back to the devotionals, so Louis gives his weird devotional and he's so happy and immediately says, I didn't practice, because he wants to make sure that we know that he didn't practice, because he said out loud that he didn't practice, which means obviously that he didn't practice, which I don't even, if that's what practicing looks like, you know, the Olympics are going on. We believe in practice. We want people to practice. I don't know that practice paid off. I mean, God forbid it really did. And this is as good as it gets. But you shift on over to Polly, who wants to be literally anywhere else in the world than this, which I completely understand. But Bill goes over there, and I don't know that Louis gets that Bill is making fun of him, but when Bill starts saying like, sweetie pie, boo boo, and then I watched this a couple of times, I almost think he's about to go into the Barney theme song, because he's like, I love you, and I'm like, oh no, he's being a little sing-songy, he's tapping into his like childhood or his kids, like he's thinking, what's the dumbest and apologies, honestly, to the Barney, I'm an ally, like, you know, he does good stuff, this isn't Mr. Rogers' neighborhood here, but there only one can, this is a different neighborhood in Franklin Lakes, and so I appreciate Bill just pulling anything out of his ass that he possibly can, frankly, as a form of survival, because if you can't laugh at this, then you're Louis Ruelas, and that's a sad place to live. But when he just started singing, it really did feel like there was a little bit of a Barney thematic orchestral energy to the like, I love you. I really was thinking like, you love me. This is not a happy family. I cackled. There was a little bit of a cackle. You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo super fan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about the wedding planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin. Serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's deluxe kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that JLo glow? Head to JLObeauty.com/AndyScrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to JLObeauty.com/AndyScrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. JLObeauty.com/AndyScrolls.
Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clawfish. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year. And in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndyScrolls through December 31.
So those are two good things that happened. So what an episode this was. We did a little look-see at Jim Leonard using Duolingo to design his website. God bless him for that, using an ancient language, because common sense certainly couldn't exist. And also other things happen. I do need to obviously reference the allergy scene. I don't know what it says about me that I felt like I watched that scene in slow-mo because I was so bewildered by everything that was happening. I would say that using, and I mean, I've been a vegetarian for 150 years, so you do you, genuinely. I'm not one of those people. I'm like, whatever you want to eat and God bless and do whatever. I just personally, I'm going to stick to the plants and the carbs and the potato, but taking a shot out of a bone so you can have vodka mixed with bone marrow, I don't know how appetizing that would be. I think I would have just my taste buds would probably go into shock at some point, but obviously John Fuda had some sort of, I think, allergic reaction. He's really fucking fortunate that it wasn't worse. Thank God for Joe Benigno's common sense, which I actually think surpassed production, because I don't know that they might have been spiraling out and we just didn't see it because it wasn't on camera, but I felt like there was too much time between Joe Benigno saying go to the hospital and production confirming they called 911. Now it might be because they were on the phone with 911. They might have said to themselves, this is serious. We need to call someone immediately. I felt like there was maybe more of a window here of just trying to test the waters. And I just think anytime somebody says they can't breathe, you gotta consider that an 11. Anytime. I don't care what their Italian heritage is. Poor John Fuda saying over and over again, I'm an Italian. We don't believe in hospitals. Sir, I mean, they may well sell linguine in the hospital cafe. You will be fine. I'm saying this as an Italian. I'm a pizza bagel. So like my version of an Italian is like the diet Dr. Pepper of John Fuda's version of Italian. So if you want something closer to like real Italian versus my Northeastern, but also Jewish, Austro-Hungarian Italian, you should go certainly John Fuda's way. But the number of times he said, I'm Italian, I don't do the hospital, I think that's probably culturally appropriate for a certain kind of man who does not want to think he's weak. But if you also can't breathe, let's just cross some of this out. We'll tell them you were going to ride a horse. You know, what is it? Some cowboy horse, whatever. You're being a real cowboy, okay? We needed you to be a man by walking into the ER and telling them you mean business. You don't mean to be here. You just wanted to stop by to flex your muscles and get checked out so we can make sure that you're okay. Because you can't breathe and that's not great. So thank God that they had Benadryl. Joe Gorga putting an ice over his head gave me Big Fat Greek Wedding energy of just like, aiming Windex at someone when they say they have strep and being like, this will fix it. So I don't know. John Fuda and Joe both went to the same school of the same medical school of just wipe something on my head and throat and that'll make a boo-boo go bye-bye. So he was talking about Vicks. This one's bringing over ice. Thank God that they had Benadryl. They should know what anaphylactic shock is because all of these people are parents, and in the time and season of having sleepovers and play dates and with kids' allergies being what they are and nut allergies, maybe this is just too much of the retired nanny of me, but I do think you should hopefully know what that word means because you're around children. Maybe your kids are fortunate enough not to have severe allergies, but I don't know. I just think that's a basic thing to know, but also, you know, you don't know how to deal with this. Like the guys, I think that they got dragged a lot by on social and otherwise for being potentially irresponsible and how they responded or were making light. I watched the scene intending to feel a lot of frustration and maybe fury about how they handled themselves. And I didn't honestly feel that. I just felt like these people need to have an understanding of what allergies mean and how serious that can be. I do think that they were trying, like Frank at one point was, I think, genuinely trying to make John Fuda smile and feel a little bit more comfortable while he's going through some kind of medical emergency. I do think that they did not entirely know how to respond to this. And all of these guys give such big bro energy. None of this is impossible. Being sick is a sissy. Like, what are you even all saying? Like, shut up. If any of the women were in this, they would have been in surgery an hour and a half ago. Like, they would have figured out, I don't even know. They would have been doing a Rubik's Cube just for kicks in the back of an ambulance, taking their friend to be checked out. I don't think, well, actually, maybe some of them, maybe they wouldn't. Maybe they would be running for the ice, honestly, at the end of the day. But I just kind of felt like they're acting like dummies, but I don't think that they were being like intentionally shitty to their friend in any way. Although Joe Gorga, this man is having a medical emergency. Whipping out your dick, well, I know that's one of your favorite things to do. Can Tarzan not swing on another tree in a part of the jungle? You have like 15,000 bathrooms. So maybe you were feeling nervous or something. Who doesn't need to use a loo when you're like going through a stressful whatever? But like, did you need to pee right there, right then? That was weird. I actually genuinely thought he was going to go to the hospital. I thought it was like a no-brainer. So, you know, thank God that they called 911. Thank God that they got it checked out. I could not believe he continued to eat, though. Did he? Am I making that up? I think he continued to eat. If you had some sort of reaction to either sucking vodka or gin through a bone or something, I probably wouldn't continue eating that food. Not that there's anything wrong with the food, but there's something happening with your body's reaction to it. So maybe just have some pasta or like water or a cracker or something. I could not believe he ducked back into the steak, but you know what? This man was responding in wild ways. I'll never get over him. Just his lips were like at a 15, just completely out of it, saying his throat was closing and being like, I'm Italian. I don't need to seek attention. I actually do think that's how a lot of people would respond. And maybe that is something cultural. Honestly, to a certain extent, I'm like, most guys are probably going to, when they're with their guy friends, they're going to be like, I'm too tough. I'm too tough for allergies. But that doesn't make any sense. Like, that's not how allergies work. It's not like you're going to have an allergic reaction. Your throat starts to close up and it's like, oh, no, wait, this is a real man. Let me run off into the distance and hurt somebody else. No, that's not. That's not how bodies work. That's not it. So thank God for Joe Benigno, because he really is, I think, at most times, the true adult in the room. At every time, honestly, frankly, the true adult in the room. And I don't know, what an ohm, in the words of Teresa, that garage, not, I don't think the full house, I think it was just the garage or like guest house or something burned down. But that is somewhat of an ohm, a bad ohm for what we're looking at for the finale. And I did watch the little teaser for the finale. Obviously, something happens with Jen and Danielle, spoiler alert, because it looks like at one point you can't really see Danielle, but there's a blonde woman facing the window and you can see Jen is like dabbing her eyes or something in response. Teresa calls Melissa a whore several times, which is unsurprising considering Louis just called Marge a skank. So I don't know. These are things couples bond over, I guess. So the finale's next week. We're almost done. And then we get that dumb People's Couch episode, which maybe will be great. It's entirely possible. I doubt it. But anything is possible in this world. And maybe Louis's a great guy. Listen, this is just my opinion. I'm sure he's wonderful. Everyone he's ever dated says as much. And business people. And all that other stuff. And I hope he has all of the money in the world. And while he did at one point say, you know, Teresa, I'll get in a previous season when she was going through it, you didn't even need to be there. I'll get you a private jet and send you on your way. And you don't even need to work a day in your life if you don't want to. Hopefully, all of that is real. And, you know, after this season happens, she gets a little bit of a chance to get a break and doesn't need to do, while I'm sure she loves it, all of these meet and greets and other things and the clickbait on her Instagram where she puts up posts saying, guess what, I'm leaving. And then the clickbait when you click the link is like, I'm leaving to go to the grocery store because you get paid per click. That's not making me really feel great about how he's using his gazillions to remove stress and work obligations from her life. But anything is possible, okay? So the TLDR on this episode is Louis is incredible. And that reveal that Teresa had was amazing and insane. And there we are. Best of luck, I would say, to really anyone watching this show for the next several days and next week. And I don't know about you, but when it comes to like alliances and who I'm standing for, at the end of the day, I just want like good, interesting, chaotic TV. So I think we're going to get that in the finale? Probably not. But at least this season will wrap in the next couple weeks and maybe people will continue their side conversations, debating who's going to be back and who isn't. And that genuinely is understandable considering the circumstances and the amount of uncertainty about the future of this franchise and what direction they go in next. But if it makes you feel any better or also worse, they really genuinely, the network has not made any decisions. They have not decided if they're going to completely replace the cast, regardless of what you might be seeing on Instagram, because that was a misquote. If you want to hear the full clip of what Andy was saying on Radio Andy earlier this week, go to my pal Kiki Monique, also known as the Talk of Shame's Instagram. She has a longer clip of that Radio Andy episode. So obviously that went niche viral of people saying he said that definitely the whole cast is gone and it's going to be recast. What Andy actually said on the Radio Andy episode was like, I don't know what's going to happen and maybe they'll be recast, but anything is possible. Could everyone be recast? Yes, obviously. But also that might not happen. They really do not know what's going to happen next, but there will be a reboot of some kind. So stay tuned on that. I mean, my goodness, what an episode this was. I think it was about 15 minutes long, so I'm sorry it was so short and brief, but you've come to expect these mini conversations on Andy Scrolls, so this is different like nothing else. You know what is also different? When you sign up for the Andy Scrolls Patreon, you just feel a feeling of relief and home like never before. So you can sign up to the AG page. There are going to be 2 bonus episodes up in the next 24 hours, where I'll be probably sharing a little bit more on New Jersey and some thoughts on Phaedra's confirmed return to Atlanta, which I have not mentioned not once on this episode because there was just so much to say about Jim Leonard's website for his law firm that took up more space. So I will be getting into that and some of your satchels of gold on the AG page. Number one way to support the pod at patreon.com/AndySkrulls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. And if you disagree with anything and or probably everything I've said on this episode, welcome to Andy Scrolls. We sit in discomfort here. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying that I have an opinion, which is all it is at the end of the day. And I just gave myself a microphone. So here I am saying it. So I would love, love, love to hear from tree huggers. I want to hear from people who are like, no, you're not getting it. Here is my feeling and here's why. I want to unpack that on Patreon episodes. That's more interesting for me personally, is to like get someone's perspective that either maybe feels like Louis is a piece of shit, but they're reading the situation differently, or doesn't. Just let me know. Send me your thoughts. Take up space. Just please, including if you sent me a satchel before, include your first name and town, and they may be discussed on one of those upcoming Patreon apps. So let me know your thoughts and feels. I'm just sending prayers up for the tree huggers. I think this has been a difficult week, or maybe not difficult in any way. And you know, kudos to you, frankly, for keeping that energy so high. But, you know, let me know your thoughts and feels. Maybe that reveal did hit, and I want to hear your feeling of happiness about it. Or maybe it didn't, but it didn't also change your perspective. And I want to hear about that too. And if you're a Gorgita Crunch, let me know how you're feeling these days. Melissa has not been at the forefront of a lot here, aside from stuff with Jackie. So I guess that changes in the finale. We'll see more, to be continued. All right, here's me wrapping, which means talking for another 15 minutes. Thanks to all of you for listening to this episode and staying on the journey. I know that it's probably been tough for some of these apps, especially if you feel differently. But this is the place to, again, sit in some of that discomfort. And maybe you hear takes that you agree with and you don't. But this is kind of one of those places where we just have conversation. We're just chatting at the end of the day. We're just having a little talk. So thanks to you for joining. Also, if you're not watching the Olympics, holy fucking shit. I have not been feeling great. I was in bed watching the gymnastics final live, and I have never felt so, I mean, the feeling of happiness that I felt for those women, for our women, for our United States of America, gymnasts, it was just peak, peak dramatic television and phenomenal. So couldn't more highly recommend the Paris Olympics so far. And also the men's gymnastics and that guy, Steven, should be doing every possible upcoming campaign for Warby Parker. Otherwise, they're fucking idiots. Just really, truly wonderful TV. So if you need a little bit of a break or an outlet from all things drama, drudgery of New Jersey Housewives, or just obviously television excellence seen on Orange County, couldn't more highly recommend the Olympics. I know that's new information that the Olympics makes people feel good and it's like a big sporting event, but this is the place to find out new information. Normally, changing your mind based on new information. New information is the Olympics, kind of a big deal. All right, gold medals to all of us for getting through this episode, and I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.